is strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. I'm David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's always good to be here hosting the show. Let us begin with a prayer. It is 12 noon, so let's start with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary.
And she conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord,
thy grace into our hearts,
that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Always beautiful to start with that prayer, and 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. for those who aren't in the habit of doing so. It's a habit we in the Catholic world have gotten out of. It really is our. We acknowledge our the history of our salvation. You know, it's such a beautiful thing to do, and it's just really. I see so many places around the world where people are in the Muslim world, for example, and in Jewish areas where they practice, they pray what 5 times a day and whatever. And I think we need to get back in that habit here. I think it's what it is. Yeah,
we do have the one thing that's done at the same time every day is Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
That's kind of the only thing that's like the 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Angelus that we have today.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I grew up in the Philippines at 6 o'clock in the evening. All the tricycles and jeepneys and, you know, all cars will stop in front of the church because they will be, you know, ring the bell. And, of course, you know, they would pray the Angelus. It's such a, you know, such a Catholic, beautiful country when people recognize that. Well, yeah. I'm not there for the last 11, 12 years.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I think it's changed, too, you know, with everything's going on. But well, I think we need to.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know who you are, I haven't had a chance to introduce you folks yet. This is, I have in the studio today two very, very special people that I work with regularly. Deacon Bob Ellis is here. He came down from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And Deacon Bob is a deacon of the Diocese of Green Bay, and he's also the national coordinator of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, here in the United States. And Patrick Sabat, who is the director of our Pilgrim Virgin Statue Program. Patrick was talking about his time in the Philippines, where he comes from. And you're right. I mean, these are the cultural things that need to be brought over. And we have to do these. You know, we have a we're in such interesting times right now. It's so terrible out there, but it's a good time to be alive because we have a job to do, you know. And I always love that line by St. Augustine, bad times, hard times. This is what people keep saying. But let us live well, and the time shall be good. You know, we are our times. Okay, mm-hmm. such as they are, such are our times. Boy, that is a classic. I love that because we make our times what they are. And if things are bad, we have to be better, and we pray. And that's what our apostolate is all about, the work we do. And it's really the mission of the Catholic Church to bring about, to become holy, and then bring holiness, bring other people to become holy. So that's why we get up in the morning, right?
Right.
And it's true. It's a beautiful thing that we are able to be part of. We're very honored, truly, to be able to maybe, make up for the things in our lives that are less than perfect. I think of, things in my past that was, I wish things had been differently. But the reality is, God gives us he takes imperfect people. Okay, I love when people look at, even politicians and others say, that person, look at the life. God takes imperfect people and perfects them, okay? And that's what it's all about with us. And we need to become perfect, But anyway, it's a great thing to be part of this work, and I'm very happy to. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of the things we've come into 2020. It's funny, I had a conversation with His Excellency Bishop Perry yesterday, and he made a comment. I don't know if this came from him or he heard it from someone else, but he said, we have to have 2020 vision this year.
Okay.
Looking at all
good.
The things in society and in the church and all, we need to have 2020 vision, okay? And, fortunately, I think we are. I think we've come into everything with our eyes wide open to the way the world is. The church has issues, society has issues, but it's nothing that can't be changed by prayer and sacrifice. And, of course, that's the Fatima message. That's why we're here. That's why you, Deacon Bob, as the national coordinator, work with divisional people and people in areas around the United States. Patrick, statue program, you're around, you're going all over. You could tell the people a little bit where the statue has been recently and where it's going to be going. This is the International Pilgrim Virgin mm-hmm. statue. We have, of course, a number of traveling statues. We have the national statue. But talk a little bit about what has been taking place in these last few months and what we're coming into.
Sure,
now.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Dave, you mentioned the perfect vision, the 2020. This is I like that. And I think with the way we're doing things through the apostolate, especially with the statue program, we bring this historic image of Our Lady of Fatima, and we invite people to be like Mary, that we may see the world through the eyes of Mary, that we may have the perfect vision of God. Mary had it. She has that. She's always, the beatific vision.
Sure.
And in our lives here, asking people for prayer, penance, and conversion, that's the good way. That's probably the best way to learn from Mary to treat others. With respect, honor God, like Mary, love God above all else. And I think with the statue, it's, again, I always say this, it's a visual catechism, the statue is. It becomes for us it teaches us something about our faith. It teaches us something about the beautiful virtues of Mary and, of course, the shepherd children.
Sure.
And in the last months here, before we ended the year of 2019, we were in New Mexico. We were, of course, in the West Coast. And this time, the 2020, we will be starting off in Florida. On Sunday, we'll start traveling to Florida. We'll be in Jacksonville and then heading up to Charleston in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And a lot of places are lined up for this 2020,
and
we're very excited about it.
And people hunger for these tours. I mean, I was honored to join you for a few days out in California when we did the statue tour of the missions of St. Junipero Serra.
Right.
And that was
yes.
so beautiful. We did the 21 missions, I believe it was, from San Diego
missions.
Up to San Francisco. And on September 11th, which was so telling, I was very honored to be able to speak on the steps of the Capitol in Sacramento with Our Lady statue standing right there. I mean, that to me was great, And, it was so important to be there on that day, at that time, it's such a day in a place, and we're not just picking on California, but California's been out there, let's be realistic, although here in the state of Illinois and in New Jersey, where I spent a lot of time, I mean, let's be realistic. We are bringing in laws and are allowing things that would not have even been imagined even 20, 25 years ago. And you know, and but then you have to look at politicians. We can't expect politicians to be any more than what we deserve. Okay, so we have to be stronger in our prayer life to get people to want to obviously to elect the right people to do these things, but also to pray for those in positions of public authority to do things, you know, through the prism of God. And that's what our job is as an apostolate of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Patrick. You know, we have a lot of books and materials that people can read, and people hear talks on Fatima, and all of that stuff goes to our heads. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there something special about being in the presence of that image of Our Lady?
Absolutely.
That touches the heart. And, you know, I've been on a couple of statue tours, years ago, but I can just imagine now, today, with so many people can bring so many things to Our Lady. So even though somebody hears a statue tour is coming to their diocese, or the statue is going to be in their parish, oh, well, I already know about Fatima.
Yeah.
You know, that
right.
kind of disposition.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they should give that a second thought. You know her.
Yeah.
You know the story, but has your heart really been touched, maybe it would be a good idea to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I think so. And you're praying in unison with other people. You're praying in front of an image. It's an image, certainly,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
it's an image, a very specially blessed image, and an image that has, there's so much piety and so much pious tradition mm-hmm. that goes along with these statue tours. And the sign on there, I think, says it best. It says, you know, because we don't want people obviously mauling the statue because that can be an issue, but it says, do not touch her. She will touch you,
right.
and she will, and she truly, truly will, because you know it is. You go there. You're a pilgrim. Okay, obviously life is a pilgrimage, and we talk about pilgrimage, and we do pilgrimages. I mean, to the places of Europe and the Middle East, and we have a number of them, which I'll talk about here in a while, going on here in 2020. But life is a pilgrimage, and for those, you know, just to go into a church, see Our Lady. You know, be involved in the prayers, be involved in the masses and the things that are happening. It is a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
It truly does.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of priests are thanking us because, you know, not because we brought the statue, but what happened when the statue is in town or in their parish. You know, sometimes the church, you know, it's the attendance is so low, but when we bring the statue, what happens? You know, the priests are thanking us because they said, you know, Our Lady is leading these people back to the church. And that's the whole point.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, they receive the sacraments. Sacraments of confessions are being offered when the statue is visiting. And this is what Mary would want us to be in the presence of Christ, just the way she is.
Right. And, you know, what you I like your emphasis on life being a pilgrimage.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we were setting up the tour company that the apostolate
right.
operates?
Ave Maria Pilgrimage Tours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were going to call it Ave Maria Tours.
No, yeah, right.
And then we said, well, wait a minute. These are not just a tour.
These aren't tours.
They're very special and unique. They're
yeah.
genuinely pilgrimages.
Yeah. Anybody can book you on a cruise somewhere. That's different. That's regular travel. These are pilgrimages.
Right.
And believe me, I mean, this year, we're going to be going to the Holy Land in July with Bishop Perry. Now, this is 3 years in a row. That's a beautiful trip in July. Anybody wants to join us? Oberammergau Passion Play in September. That's very special, and that'll be sponsored out through St. John Cantius Parish here in Chicago. The Shrines of Italy in November. Beautiful trip, and that's a trip I've done so many times in the last 35 years. I love it. And then we're going to have an Advent retreat in Fatima this year.
Oh, wow.
Of course, we own and operate Domus Pacis, the Fatima. It's our hotel retreat center in Fatima. And I think that'd be a special time to go. It'd be the very first week of December. A little late, people think, to go, but it's a perfect time. It's after Thanksgiving, the beginning of Advent. And Fatima is such a very, it's a beautiful place at any time. But in the off season, you know,
yeah.
you feel it when you go there. Because it's a climate that's not terribly bad, but also you just feel the beauty there when you're there. You don't have all the noise and people aren't stepping on your feet and everything.
Right.
You know.
Well, now That's on the website, is it not?
That one's going up. It is going up because it's new. It just was proposed and put together. And yes, but all of these are up on a website or will be soon. Or they can call for more information. They can call 908-246-6626. 908-246-6626 for more information on any of these tours, but or these pilgrimages, I should say. But it's true. It really is important. I've been doing this many years, and I think that it's something that I'd like to talk a little more about as we go forward. We have to take a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk more with Deacon Bob about the work you're doing as National Coordinator and Patrick with the, with the statue program. I'm David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This Saturday, January 11th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Daly Plaza, 50 West Washington Street, Chicago. Work to transform our society from a culture of death to a culture of life. This Saturday, January 11th, starting at 1 at Daly Plaza. Complete information at artschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And as we went to break, we were talking about some of the work of the apostolate with Deacon Bob and with Patrick Sabbat. And anyway, Deacon Bob, I want to ask you a little bit about some of the things. Now, you as the national coordinator, you're dealing with people more directly, you know, on a daily basis as far as the people in the different dioceses around the country. We do this nationally, but also, you know, you have a more direct daily interaction with so many of these people. And what programs are you working with them on most specifically right now?
Well, always prayer cells are the key. That's the first thing you would try to establish, because this brings very small groups of people together on a regular basis. And when they come together for the prayer cell, they pray together for about 20 minutes to a half hour, all the Fatima prayers, the rosary with scripture meditations and reflections on Fatima. And then they move, you know, they do that in a church typically in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Then they move to a conference room or somewhere where they can have an informal discussion. Yeah. And we actually have a study guide, a discussion guide that they follow that goes through Lucia Speaks, so they learn all about the story and the meaning of Our Lady's message and all of that. So the prayer cells are probably the most important thing. And prayer cells don't have to meet in churches. That's another nice thing about the prayer cell program, is that if a church is not available, people can come together in one or more of their homes on a regular basis.
Right.
And then, even beyond that, sometimes people just don't know people. You know, everybody knows their cell phones
nowadays,
you know,
yes,
and all these devices. But I've actually started a number of prayer cells now that are simply family prayer cells,
sure,
which is great. So the prayer cell program is the most fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, once a prayer cell starts in the parish, then you can expand into other things. You have a Pilgrim Virgin statue home visitation program where the prayer cell has a statue and they'll take it to homes for a week at a time, about 50 times a year. You leave Thanksgiving and Christmas out.
Yeah,
but,
of course. and
that's an excellent opportunity for families to pray, because during that week they have the statue. They're praying together. they're learning about Fatima. We have a little DVD, The Day the Sun Danced, for the little kids.
Right.
So they pray the rosary together. They learn about Fatima, and hopefully they become more interested. Our Lady touches them, and they become involved. So that's, you know, the Pilgrim Virgin Statue program. Schools, Catholic schools, you have the Little Shepherds program, which used to be real complicated because there was this great big fold-out thing that they had. It's so simple. The concept is that the kids in the classroom learn to pray the rosary, and they pray a decade of the rosary together each day. Then, after they've learned it, then the teacher gives each of them a form to take home with them where they can put the names of people. And you can choose whatever number you want, depending on the age of the kids. You can ask 3 people, 5 people, 8 people. But when they go home and they go to mom and they say, I can become a little shepherd of Fatima.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can get 5, 6, 8, 3 adults to pray a decade of the rosary with me.
Sure.
Now, this is a beautiful thing. And a lot of times, you know, the kid will go home and mom will say, what's a rosary? You know?
Yeah.
So what do you got? What you actually have happening is the kids evangelizing mom and dad.
Well, sure.
But,
absolutely.
So Catholic schools, you know, throughout the country, it's a wonderful thing to do. That's an excellent program.
Yeah.
There's home enthronement.
The domestic church.
The domestic church, maybe we should talk a little bit about that right now, in the context of, you know, when now St. John Paul II set up the Pontifical, what was it called, the Pontifical John Paul II
Institute on Marriage and Family.
He appointed Cardinal Caffara.
That's correct.
May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. He was appointed the head. And he wrote a letter to Sister Lucia in Coimbra.
Right.
And he wrote the letter simply asking her if she would have the sisters at the Carmel pray for the success of this new venture. He never expected to get a letter back, but he did.
Yeah.
And she told him in that letter that the final battle between Satan and the kingdom of God would be about marriage and the family.
Well, doesn't it make sense? I mean, it's the most prime. You destroy a foundation and a building falls down.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's society. You know, the building being society, and it's true. And this is what's happened. It is the divorce rate in this country and everything is just so phenomenally bad. It's in the world. I mean, in general. And it's just a lack of commitment. I mean, on a part of it, long-term commitment. Same thing, vocations that fail and people walk away. I mean, unfortunately, we're a people that do not live up to our commitments anymore, and that is the key to our problem. And who suffers? The children. I mean, that's in a divorce situation. I mean, and it's very sad. And that's why I think it's so important that these little foundations like the cell program, it's prayer. It goes back to the one thing of Fatima, you know, when Our Lady spoke to 3 children and gave them, you know, 3 simple children with a simple formula, pray. And that's why going into this 2020, we are now promoting a new initiative, a prayer initiative. And I don't mean an initiative of you know, okay, we're going to say, 54-day Rosary Novena, starting on this date to this date for this intention. Those are beautiful, and they're all around, and I highly recommend that people participate in the things. And we do it all the time when we hear of these things, and we will continue to do so. But I'm talking about becoming prayer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jacinta and Francisco, the 2 little saints that died within 2 and 3 years after the apparitions, okay? In their short lives, they became prayer. They prayed constantly, okay? They prayed for sinners. They prayed for conversions. They prayed for everything, okay? They gave themselves to God. Sister Lucia, in her not-so-short years, 88 years after, when Our Lady said, you'll be here a while longer, took it seriously, a while longer, she became prayer. you know, and that's what we have to do. We have to make everything in our lives a prayer. So I'm saying we need to embrace more strongly the things that we were asked to do at Fatima, and what this apostolate is founded for, okay, to be a foundation of prayer, to get people to act prayerfully in everything they do, okay? You know, let's do a lot of little things, then we'll have, and the result will be big solutions. That's what I'm hoping that we can really promote here in 2020, is that we become prayers, because that's what it's all about.
Right. You know? And I like the idea of becoming prayer.
Exactly.
You know, I remember my assistant pastor years ago. Oh, there's all kinds of devotions. There's so many devotions out there.
Right.
And at that time in my life, I had come back, you know, to the practice of the faith.
Sure.
And man, as soon as I heard about a devotion, I jumped. And he finally told me, he said, "Robert, slow down. Pick one and do it all of your life.
Do it better.
Or you'll wind up not doing. You'll really never do any of them.
Because you can't keep up with it all.
Well, that's right.
You know. And but when you're doing, you know, and what is it with us? I mean, the rosary. If that's your devotion, then pray it, you know, and do it with zeal and with determination, and stay faithful to it.
Right.
That's what it is.
You know? The other thing that he told me was, you know, we have, when we pray a morning offering, O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings.
Right.
Now, we do that at the beginning of the day, and the way he referred to that, he says, that's like putting a flag. Because during the course of the day, from time to time, you'll say the sacrifice prayer when something happens.
Sure.
Jesus is for love of you. For
you're the supposed to.
Well, you're supposed to, right? You're not supposed to curse. You're supposed to say that little prayer. But when we do that, we're marking everything for the entire day.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about becoming prayer so that everything that we do, you know, a lot of people think that they earn their way to heaven in church on Sunday, and that's not what happens.
Right.
You know, housewives, you know, and mothers earn their way to heaven cleaning toilets, changing diapers, all the mundane things of daily life, you know. But when they're done in a spirit of, I'm fulfilling the duties of my state in life assigned by God. And that's when we become.
Your state in life, and that's so important. Living according to your state in life, doing the things that your duty calls for, okay? You know, like you referred to the mother at home. You know, what I don't like today, and believe me, I love the many women that are professional we work with and all that, but you know, there's been a denigration of women who just stay and raise families, it seems, in our society nowadays, which is, I mean, what a job. My goodness, that's like, talk about above and beyond the call of duty, you know. When I think of the things my own mother went through with us, I mean, and I think that you know, we have to look at whatever, when someone, I admire, especially, again, women who give up another career to go in and stay home with the children for a period of time or whatever, you know. That's a big sacrifice, but it's so important for everybody to do what they're going to, and then fathers to pick up their duty as a result of that, okay? Mm. You know, we know so many homeschoolers and the work they do, and the homeschooling families that are most successful, in my vision, are the ones where mom and dad work as a team and really help to educate those children and bring them, you know, obviously not just homeschoolers, but even if they're in a school, in a Catholic school, you know, to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like to complain sometimes about the things that are going on in the church and the schools all around, you know, well, be there and make it better. It's like St. Augustine said, you know, we are our times. We have to be there. We will make our times right, okay? Mm-hmm.
Let's go back just for a second to the family and the condition of the family today, and the war, and you know, the prophecy of Sister Lucia. We are in that time now, and so two things that I would like to point out. First of all, home enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is so important. Our homes, you know, when you talk about home enthronement, it's not like blessing a home. The home is really the family. The building, right. You know, will change over time. Most people move 2-3 times during their life now.
Right.
But home enthronement is one of the programs of the apostolate.
Yeah.
And it you enthrone the home to the Sacred Heart.
To the king. You're bringing the king. Yeah,
right. And you consecrate sure. yourself to Our Lady and make her the queen of the home. And we need that not only, for protection.
Sure.
Because we're engaged with principalities and powers.
Right.
And so home enthronement is important, and I think we're probably getting ready to go to a break because I see his hand going up.
Hold that thought. We have to take another break.
Yep.
When we come back, I want to elaborate on what you're talking about, so hold that thought really well. I'm David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This Saturday, January 11th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Daly Plaza, 50 West Washington Street, Chicago. Work to transform our society from a culture of death to a culture of life. This Saturday, January 11th, starting at 1 at Daly Plaza. Complete information at artschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And when we went to the break, we were talking about the enthronement in the family, enthronement. Okay, mm-hmm. Who sits on the throne? Okay, that's what it's all about. I want to talk about one thing here before we talk much about that. Is your work in Deacon Bob so directly with the people. On a smaller level right now, which we're finding to be the model in the future, you know. But we do have some very strongly established divisions in this country. And one of them is right here in Chicago, where, of course, I come from here, and maybe I'm a little bit biased. I did serve as the vice president of the Chicago Blue Army for a good number of years. But they have some really beautiful things that have been going on for 50, 60 years now, probably since the very early 60s. This apostolate here was started in 1955 when people like my own parents, my cousins, the relatives, they were that family you're talking about that came together and it spread from there. But to this day, and the reason I think this is so important, we're pushing very much now the whole thing of nocturnal adoration, okay? Nothing will save the world more than that. And earlier this past year, and if you see our articles in Soul magazine, Barb Ernster wrote an article about the longest running all-night vigil that was going back from New York for I don't know exactly how many years, but it's just an amazing thing. But here in Chicago, three times a month, on the second, third, and fourth weekends of the month, there are all-night vigils. And at the Fatima Chapel at 3051 North Christiana, there's a beautiful, beautiful going on there. Father Charles Finelli, who is, of course, the spiritual director of the Chicago Blue Army World Apostle of Fatima. He's also a national board member with us, the longest sitting national board member. Every time it comes for election, he goes, should I run against it? You have to. And so he does, you know. So we're very happy. And God bless Father Finelli and everything he's done for us. But on the second weekend of the month, there is the all-night vigil at the Chapel of Christiana, the third on the west side, and the fourth on the south side in Oak Forest at the Missionary Sisters of St. Benedict. And for more information on that, you can go to you can contact the Chicago Blue Army at 708-489-6055, 708-489-6055 for more information about the the events, not only the all-night vigils, but so many things that have gone on here. And that chapel in Christiana Avenue is really beautiful. There's so many things that have gone on there. It's a chapel I remember when I was still there before I took on the national job and went out to New Jersey primarily. I remember when we talked to the Archdiocese about taking over that chapel, and everybody says, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for this? You know, and myself included, I guess. But, you know, it's been a blessing. It's been all these years, and the beautiful things that go on with the English devotions that are there. Father Eduardo Garcia has so many of the Spanish devotions and a couple others with the Hispanic groups. And it's just become, it's really been a blessing to have that chapel. So we're very fortunate, you know. But again, this is a division that's been here for 65 years or 64 years. And, but it all started with a few prayer cells, Deacon Bob.
Right.
And see, that's the key, you know. And it went from these devoted people in the prayer cells to a full apostolate operating throughout many different things. Mm-hmm. But I remember in the book Night of Love, John Hafford, our co-founder, wrote that book, and he poses a question in there. He says, can we save 1,000 souls in one night of adoration? You know, I believe we can, depending on your fervor and your prayer, okay? Because, again, we become prayer. We become prayers, you know. And I remember going through those all-night vigils and the different prayers that we would pray through the night, starting with Mass on Friday night, ending with Mass on Saturday morning. One of the things that always struck me was something called the Litany for a Big City, okay? Oh. And she prayed in the middle of the night. They prayed in the New York one also. And it's, you know, we pray for those who are homeless. We pray for those who are, you know, in the evil trades. We pray for those who are in jeopardy of dying. We pray. It's a whole list of things. And then I think, wow, that's what our apostolate's all about. We are supposed to pray to help people to save their souls. And I wonder how many nights there have been these vigils going on, and maybe someone who was in jeopardy of losing their soul may have been saved or may have, you know, got another chance. That's what it's all about. It starts with those small. So there's nothing too small. It will grow. I mean, it really, really will grow. You know, and for people who want more information, our website, BlueArmy.com, has tremendous resources. Our gift shop. We have all these books books and resources you can buy. You can either order online or call our gift shop at 908-689-1700. Extension 218, and you can purchase any of the books we talk about, any of these resources you need to put together for the work we're doing, because it's there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I know that it's more than prayer cells. It's, you know, like you say, the groups in the homes, but it moves out from there. You know, statue visits in the house. And it ties in a little different. Patrick, of course, the statue program, our Pilgrim Virgin statue program, is in the churches, okay, mm-hmm. primarily, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, to bring things into the home,
Dave, about a week ago, two people out in California in the diocese or the Archdiocese of Los Angeles got together and started taking prayer cells, started going to an assisted living facility.
Oh, so beautiful, yeah.
In these nursing homes and assisted living facilities, you have people who, in many cases, their families have just, they're storing them there, okay?
Yeah.
These people seem to have lost so many of them, not all, but so many. What am I here for? There's no meaning in their lives. You come and you explain to them how by their offering up their aches and pains, physical, sure. their loneliness and all, they can unite themselves to Christ's cross of Calvary.
Exactly.
And by doing that, they can save souls. Remember what Our Lady said, you know, after the vision of hell.
Yeah.
You've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart.
Sure.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're helping these people cultivate that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in which she asks all of her children to help one another. Huh? So nursing homes and assisted living facilities, there's lots of people out there who could go to those places and gather the people together, pray the rosary, you know. Doesn't have to be the big formula all the time. It can be something very simple.
That is beautifully simple. I'll tell you why that touches me so well, so much, because we're pro-life, okay? So when we think of pro-life, we think of the cute little baby that we don't want to see aborted, and that's true, and that's probably our primary focus. But what about the elderly person that's in a nursing home? Because end of life there, you know, this is another thing with people. They don't see, you know, a reason to go on, and it's all this stuff with euthanasia and that. It's a danger. Dorothy and I are members of the Association of Jeanne Jougan. Of course, she was the foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor. And we've always had a relationship here with St. Mary's Home in Chicago. My own mother spent the last few years of her life there. Just beautiful care. We love their carers and we love working with them. And that's what is dignity, that people come in those eight and they live in dignity. And, you know, they have the sacraments. They have what they need at these days. But what's really beautiful, because at that point in your life, typically, you're going to have more to offer. You know, physically, you're going to be, you know, I mean, let's be realistic. You know, you're dying. You know, you're getting at that point in life where your life is ending. But they need to see that end part of their life is not useless. It's very useful. And any suffering that you have that offered up properly for yourself or for the souls of others is with merit that's just beyond comprehension.
Yeah, you know, and St. John Paul II, one of his encyclicals was called On Christian Suffering.
Yes.
And he dealt with the tremendous value of suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
If it is looked at and embraced the right way, it becomes the salvation of other souls.
Right.
It's just like with the First Saturday devotion, you have five, with each series of five First Saturdays, Our Lady promises grace is necessary for salvation at the time of death. It's not a guarantee of heaven, obviously, but it's very significant. That gift comes with five successive First Saturdays. Many people think that they do the five First Saturdays. Oh, I did the First Saturdays, and they're done.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the two greatest commandments, love God, love neighbor.
Love neighbor.
So when you practice, it's a lifelong devotion, five times. And each time you complete a series of five First Saturdays, you have merited that gift, which can be given to someone else. That's up to Our Lady.
Right.
But so it's really, really a beautiful, beautiful devotion.
Well, that's right. Absolutely it is. And that's, you know, and that is really the unfulfilled part of the Fatima message, is the First Saturday's devotion. I mean, truly, we want to bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Okay. You know, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, but got to expand that. Her Immaculate Heart will triumph when we merit it.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And when are we going to merit it? When we really fulfill, as an apostolate and as a people, the First Saturday's devotion, having it out there, having it proclaimed. I mean, I know that because that's what she wanted. And when this triumph comes, I mean, what'll it look like? I mean, you know, it's coming as we go along. I mean, it's like the conversion of Russia. Everybody said, well, you know, that was going to happen overnight. No, nothing happens overnight, okay? it's a change of heart of people, generational in the case of the conversion of Russia. But there's more to it. The conversion of Russia talked about more than just the country. I mean, it was about, and let's be realistic, the damage was done, particularly here with the secularism and everything else we're dealing with today, you know. But the triumph of the Immaculate Heart will come when we, again, have merited it. And that's by the promotion of the First Saturdays. There's no doubt about it. We don't even say the five First Saturdays devotion, as you well know.
Right.
We refer to it as the First Saturdays devotion. Granted, you have to do the five to meet the requirement, the initial requirement. But you're right. Don't stop there.
Right.
Think of everyone, you know, your own family. You have a big family. You know, I have a smaller. But, you know, we have to think of not only our families, our friends, and also, in the light of, you know, St. Louis de Montfort, you know, if we're consecrated, which many of us are through St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion, we give everything to Our Lady. okay, through, with, in, and for Mary, and she used it accordingly. And that's what's really beautiful about that. She knows who needs it best. Okay.
Right. So, and we have the consecration, you know, St. Louis de Montfort's total consecration to Jesus through Mary.
Right.
And now we have consecration to St. Joseph.
Yes.
Father Calloway from...
Yes, did a beautiful job with that.
Yeah, and that's another thing, just like home enthronement. When the family is under attack, St. Joseph was the head of the Holy Family.
Yeah.
So we need to consecrate ourselves. I think it's a wonderful idea to consecrate yourself to St. Joseph. We have the book in our gift shop at bluearmy.com.
Right, we do. We do.
Yeah.
So we have to take another break here. When we come back, I'd like to elaborate more on that. David Crollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This Saturday, January 11th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Daly Plaza, 50 West Washington Street, Chicago. Work to transform our society from a culture of death to a culture of life. This Saturday, January 11th, starting at 1 at Daly Plaza. Complete information at artschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go. Hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation. One way or the other.
Welcome back. Show always goes so fast when we're here, but it's great. You know, David Crollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and I'm speaking here with Deacon Bob Ellis, the national coordinator of the World Apostolate of Fatima, and Patrick Sabat, who is our statue custodian, our statue program coordinator for the apostolate. And we're talking about the work of the World Apostolate of Fatima and about all the work we're doing in the promotion of our work. What is our work? It's the Catholic faith, okay? And I do, there was one thing that I wanted to mention here. The prophecy of St. Louis de Montfort about devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it says here, and I'm going to have to read this because I don't have it memorized, but basically what he's saying here says, especially in these last days, God will raise up persons who through their special devotion towards the Blessed Virgin will sanctify themselves and will not only oppose God's sworn enemies, but will sweep away from the face of the earth heresy, idolatry, impiety. They will build up the temple of the true God and will inspire all with genuine devotion to Our Lady. In fact, even as through Mary's salvation, even through Mary as salvation began, so too through her salvation will reach its accomplishment. There you go. And don't we believe that. We know that. And that's why we're devoted to Mary. We don't adore Mary. She's the greatest of all saints, okay, as we've talked. I mean, you know, and you know, Our Lady is that she has the beatific vision. She has a position that no one will ever match, right? You know, I say this often, but when people say, well, you know, Our Lady appeared sad she's not sad, not in the truest sense of sadness. She is blissfully happy, but her sadness is when she sees the danger that we are in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the sins of men.
The sins of men. She knows what this is all about. Mm-hmm. The beauty of what she has and what we can have to some degree, and the danger. She knows the horror of sin. And she wants us to avoid it.
Yeah.
And that's
she wants the best for us.
She wants the best for us. Mm-hmm. A mother. It's true. And I think we have to keep that in mind. We always have to look at, you know, there is, you know, but a stern. But your mother, you know what it's like when you did things. Your mother didn't just always pat you on the head and say, now, son, you know. No, you were corrected, okay? And this is what happened, like at Fatima and other places. We are being corrected as children who need a little a little swift kick every once in a while.
Yeah. So. And it's very interesting how St. Louis de Montfort puts it. You know, it's sanctify, you know, our lives. You know, it's
right.
a matter of sanctification. You know, we always talk about devotion to Mary. You know, you mentioned that and
sure.
the work of the apostolate. I don't think it stops with just the, devotion. Yeah, we're going to pray the rosary. We're going to pray the novena. We're going to practice First Saturday. But I think it's a call, you know, we're talking about the universal call to holiness or consecrating our family, even to St. Joseph and to Our Lady.
That's right.
And this means standing up to where we're living in right now, in this moment, in our times, in our culture,
yeah.
in our family. You know, we have family members who oppose the truth, and mm-hmm. you know, we are here, right here in Chicago. We'll be doing the March for Life tomorrow, and yeah. I think this is what it means to be a man of prayer.
Yes, you know, we discuss, prayer. Become
a prayer.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what our campaign is going to be here going in as this year goes on. Become prayer.
And even in public life, you know, in the public, our lives should not only be, okay, we are going to be praying in the chapel or yeah. in the privacy of your homes. Yeah. But I think our invitation, correct me if I'm wrong, but our invitation here is to go out in the public and practice our prayer.
Exactly. And always, never be ashamed to stand up for your faith. The mm-hmm. late Father John Harden always put it best. He would say, and I used to love his retreats in that, and he would say, if you're in a restaurant, you say grace, he goes, and you make that sign of the cross so everybody sees what you're doing.
speaking of the March for Life tomorrow, I understand the weather's going to be a little bit inclement, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that context, you know, it's kind of interesting. So a lot of people might think, well, I don't know. I don't want to go out in the rain or it's going to be too cold.
Yeah.
Well, what about offering that up?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's if we become prayer, we don't let things like that stand in the way. And we simply offer that up, united with the cross of Christ.
Absolutely.
And that will make the march even more effective.
And right. always keep in mind, too, when you have rain in January and not snow.
That's right.
You're doing better.
it's very, you know, I've been to the march last year and March for Life also in Washington, D.C.
Right.
It's a peaceful protest.
Oh,
it's
it is.
A lot of young people.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, like. We have to stand up. It's going to be an epic march for this January, you know, with the rain and everything. But with what's going on with our country, with the world right now, I think peace will come through these kinds of,
absolutely.
You know, standing up
and
for
the young
faith.
People, the young people that participate. Now, we'll have a few people at the March for Life in Washington. I may be there myself, don't know at this point, but the I participated in a good number of these. And it's true. And there's many young people. And that tells me that they will become the pro-life generation. I think the foolishness of our generations here that allowed this to happen will disappear in time. Okay. Unfortunately, you know, we're living with the results of it to a great degree. And it's far from over. But I do think that you're seeing a general respect for life more so than ever. I think people have I think they're understanding the folly of these things, okay, and just the unnatural aspect of abortion, taking life, stopping life, whatever, okay, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I like to say, well, the first thing was years back that it's not a baby, it's a fetus. Well, okay, whatever it is, it's not going to become a tree branch. It's going to become a baby eventually. Okay?
Right. It was a blob of tissue.
Yeah, you know? There's so many things they use. But again, going back to what was done throughout history, okay, how did they justify slavery by saying that black people weren't fully human? How did the Nazis justify the Holocaust by saying the Jews? You know, mm-hmm. This is how it's always been done. You dehumanize, then you can eliminate. Okay,
right.
And that's or subjugate and whatever. And it's always proven to be just a false narrative. But you know, I guess it sells sometimes, and it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. But I think I really do believe we're turning the corner on people's. I remember years back, somebody asked, I think it was what president, it might have been George Bush, George W. Bush when he was president, and so he said something about how do you, what do you think about stopping, you know, abortion? Because he was a pro-life president. His comment was, you've got to win the hearts of people. And he was right. I mean, you have to, because no matter what, if people don't have it in their heart, you're not going to succeed. Anything that happens in society and government and that, one way or another, you know, happened because people allowed and desired it to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you can talk about the manipulation of the courts and all this kind of stuff, and it's true. But the reality is, it's because we allowed it, because, and what was the biggest thing that allowed it to happen? Indifference. Okay, indifference. What was talked about at Fatima? We pray reparation for outrages, mm-hmm. sacrileges, and indifference, okay? Indifference is allowing things to say, well, okay, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever happened with us having this whole idea, we have to admonish the sinner and we have to correct mm-hmm. people from living the, you know, wrongly.
Right.
And this is where we as a people have dropped the ball, you know?
Yeah. With the young people, Dave, I think... years ago, back in the day, when you talked about the natural law,
yeah.
no one knew what you were talking about.
Because you didn't have to, but you knew what it was, what it was inside
well,
of you.
Well, it was
right?
inside you. But my point is that today, the young people, you know, we're pretty much the same age. We built a plastic world. The further we go from natural law, the more the natural law becomes obvious. And I think young people today are seeing, they're just looking at the way we're doing things and the horrendous things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not right. It's against nature.
It's against nature.
You know?
That's exactly it. It doesn't work. Okay, you know? I mean, and that's the point. They're understanding that nature has laws.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. Nature has laws. And there's nothing that we, you know, we can't live forever or for long in violation of that.
Right.
You know, in violence. So it's really, I mean, it's interesting, you know. I mean, but you know, our society is, of course, we're this is our society now, you know, we're everything. And, you know, I mean, I'm working. You know, you can see those on Facebook. You know, I'm looking at my phone as we go along because I'm getting things that came in and I'm trying to, you know, refer to them. Beautiful tools. Don't get me wrong. How could we operate in different states like we do without the technology of the day, right, Patrick? But the fact is that, you know, we can't let this dictate because all this technology and everything, you know, for the good that we can do with it, there's a lot of evil that's done too. Look at the percentage of the internet, which is pornography and all of that type of thing. We have to make it better. We have to use it to make it a better thing. But the society, you know, we're going to bring it back by prayer and by praying and become prayers. And that's what I'm asking everybody. Just really, really commit yourselves this year to take the prayer. And like you said, Deacon Bob, you know, not every prayer that you know, okay, this devotion, that devotion.
Yeah.
You can't keep up with all of that. This is my devotion. This one works for me, okay? You know why? Because I can say the rosary if my wife and I are sitting, if we're in a chapel, if we're in the car, if I'm on an airplane. You know, this is the weapon. Padre Pio called this the rosary the weapon. Because it had, you know, it brings about so many graces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I ask everybody, please, you know, come join our apostolate. Sign up. Go on our website, bluearmy.com, and sign up. Sign that pledge. That pledge in 1947 was developed by John Hafford, our co-founder, with Sister Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Deacon Bob, you know, and once these people sign up, you're going to get them an email and welcome them to the apostolate. Patrick, I want to thank you for being with us today, Deacon Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
BlueArmy.com, everybody. We ask you, please come join us and be part of this movement. Thank you. God bless you.
Changed. meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that long, can you see?